the last days according to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, and we're going to see it a little bit further in our study this morning, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, learn a parable of the fig tree. How many have ever heard that before? What the parable of the fig tree is? Can I see your hands if you think you know what that is? Okay. So we got about a half audience here that would say you sort of know, and that doesn't mean that you know. Okay, you've heard something about it. Amen. Kevin, bring me down just a little bit. Not much, just a little. Amen. Learn a parable of the fig tree. Let's go with the message this morning. Just several things. One out of every 30 Bible verses mentions the return of Jesus Christ or the end of the world. One out of every 30. Okay? Next, look at this. In the 216 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I was watching a television show the other night on Christian television, and a pastor there has a very popular show. He's interviewing somebody who is supposedly a historian when it comes to church and church things and the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And he asked him, he says, where does this word rapture come from? Rapture. It's not even in the Bible, is it? And the guy says, no, it's not in the Bible. He also said this word, this idea wasn't taught to the mid-1800s. And so pretty much they went on from right there to like basically, well, I guess it isn't going to happen, or it's something we made up. Okay, you're right. The word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. But I want to say something that's real heavy for our thinking this morning. Did you know all the English words you have in your English Bible didn't appear in the Bible either? Because they were in Greek or they were in Hebrew. Like the word comforter for Holy Spirit, comforter didn't appear in the Bible. The word paraclete did. Here's my point. No, the word rapture doesn't occur in the Bible, but over 300 references in the New Testament about His coming again. He is coming again, whether that little word rapture appears or not. The word rapture means to be caught up. The word rapture means to be snatched. The word rapture means to be taken out of here. That's what the Bible teaches. And just to dismiss something, because that word, to me, that's just plain out downright ignorant. All right? Listen, Jesus is coming again. Whether you believe it or not, it has zero to do with Him coming again, as if He's going to ask you or me. He's coming again because that's what the Bible says. He is coming again. There is going to be a time when Jesus will come and His children will be taken from this place. There is a place called heaven. It's all going to happen. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you choose to say, hey, I don't believe the Bible, that's your choice. Fine. Have at it. But don't somehow say the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach it, and that's why I put those couple of things on the screen this morning so we could see that. Those who knew Jesus while He was on the earth regularly talked with Him about His return. And when they wrote their sermons and letters, read your Bible. They are talking about it. We had this talk. We had this conversation. This is what He said. This is what He said would happen. The return of Jesus Christ. This isn't something made up by a bunch of wild-eyed prophetical freaks, even though there are enough of them out there. I agree with you. Amen? But this wasn't made up. The coming of Christ, He'll come again. The world will end as we know it. That is what the Bible teaches. Keep looking. When the disciples asked Jesus about His return and the end of the world, He gave them very specific details. Now, that was last week's message, and let's pop it up. That was last week's message. He said, learn a parable of the fig tree. We talked about the signs last week. Remember? The signs. Jesus Christ very emphatically, very detailed, gave signs to when He would come again, signs to the end of the world. He gave this, quite frankly, He was asked so many questions in the Bible. This was the longest answer by far to any question He was ever asked in the Bible when He answered this question. Right here. So let's look. Let's real quick. We saw some of them last week. Raja's popping up. It's going to be a time of deception. Counterfeit Christ. I went into detail on Islam last week. Dissension. Wars and rumors of wars. Devastation. Famines. Disease. Pestilences, Jesus called it. Disasters. Earthquakes and the such. We talked about that last week. Death. Persecution to those who believe in Christ. Disloyalty. Offending, betraying, a hating spirit that will be prevalent at that time. Delusion, that's many, many false religions. Defection, that is a lawlessness and a cold-heartedness. Don't you stop right there. Last week I mentioned two school shootings that happened in a week. I've never seen anything like it in my whole life. Such a cold-hearted, lawless thing as I saw on television this week. When a man goes into a little Amish one-room schoolhouse, takes the feet of the girls and puts them at the blackboard and blows their brains out because he's mad at God. I tell you, if things like that don't shake you or get your attention, I don't know what will. It's a world we live in today. It's going to be that way, Jesus said, when I come again. Tell you what, we need to wake up. There's going to be lawlessness and cohort. And finally, hallelujah, praise the Lord, one of the signs of his coming again is going to be declaration. He said the gospel will be preached in all the world. Amen. And that's happening right now before our very eyes. It's the only time ever in history, the time that you and I live in, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is circling the globe through technology. I'm telling you, my friend, I believe, according to the Bible, he could come today. I believe that. Do I know if he's coming today? Yes or no? No, no man knows, no angel knows, not even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, knows. That's what the Bible teaches. But are we to act like it and live like it and to be prepared that if he does come, we're ready, yes or no? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what we've been seeing in this series. Keep looking. Compare these signs that we just mentioned to Revelation. I do want to take a few minutes this morning, going to go to Revelation, and I want you to see that what Jesus said in Matthew 24 is not something off the wall. It is consistent with what John saw in the book of Revelation. Are you with me? You cool? Let's go. Let's look at it. Here we go. Revelation 1, 1 and 2, just laying the groundwork. And Raj, I'm just going to read several of these scriptures as you pass them up, put them on the board for us. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hallelujah, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, interesting verse, isn't it? He comes with what? Clouds. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 10, John speaking, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of the voice of a trumpet. Let's keep moving. We're looking. Revelation. Going to see John's vision. Verse 1, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written with, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. We're getting somewhere. Hang on. Revelation 6:1, John says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, I've taken us so far to a place right now. We're going to see what John saw when Jesus opened that book in the book of Revelation. What did he see? Does it make sense? Does it jive with what he said in Matthew 24? Let's look at it. Here we go. We see this. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. Many of us have heard about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four horsemen that appear in the book of Revelation that will usher in the end of the world, the end of the age. What does the Bible say? First of all, here's what he saw. Chapter 6, verse 2, just the very next verse. We hadn't skipped here. And I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Normally, when you think of white horse, you think of what? Good guy, right? Say it with me. Good guy. Well, what did Jesus say would happen in the end times? One of the signs would be there'll be people that come on the scene that are going to deceive you. They're going to act like they're good guys. They're going to act like they've got the answer, that they've got the true religion. They've got the answer to get you to heaven. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what this first horse represents that John saw. He saw someone on a white horse, and he went forth bringing peace. He conquered without a sword. He conquered with diplomacy, with language. He is a false Messiah. Deception. Just to sort of connect the dots here, let's look at the next one. The next horse in the apocalypse. This would be a whole long series just talking about this, but we're just going to do it real fast. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. When he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. This one was what color? Red. And power was given him that sat thereon to do what? Take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great what? Sword. So here's this deception, this false peace. The second horse of the apocalypse is a red horse. Jesus, his second thing that he said would be what? Dissensions, wars, and rumors of wars. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Is that the Bible is consistent when it comes to talking about the coming of Christ and the end of the world as we know it. Let's keep moving. Let's look at the third horse. That one is a black horse. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. What does the third horse represent? When you study this and look at it, it represents devastation, famine. Does that sound vaguely familiar, what Jesus said? Yes or no? Yeah. What am I saying? The Bible's consistent. You're going to have to find another book if you don't believe in the coming of Jesus. Because you ain't going to find it in the Bible, friend. You're going to find it full of it in the Bible, and it's going to be consistent. And you need to get ready for that. You need to know that. Let's look at the next one. Finally, verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, what color horse? Pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. That also sounds very familiar to what Jesus was saying. Pop it up. Death by sword, by hunger, by beast. Jesus said this would be a time of death that would happen on this planet. Those would be signs that you would be able to see, or that generation would see before he comes. Look at the fifth seal, and then we're done with Revelation. Hang on. We're flying. I'm sweating. Here we go. Revelation 6, 9, and 10. And when it opened the fifth seal. So the first four seals, we see these horsemen of the apocalypse, correct? The fifth seal. When he opens the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our what? Blood. On them that dwell on the earth. What is the fifth seal? Look at it. Persecuted unto death. Did Jesus say there would be persecution? Was that one of the signs that he gave? Yes or no? Absolutely. Persecuted unto death. What were they persecuted for? Look at it. Two reasons. For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Did you know what? Even in our country, it's being more and more and more difficult. You know, you're fine to believe what you want to believe, but buddy, if you really believe the Bible, you're labeled as a fanatical freak sometimes. Amen? And if you have a testimony for crying out loud where Jesus saved you and sin's forgiven and you on the way to heaven, you a nut. I tell you, hallelujah's right, brother, amen. I tell you what, that's the way it'll be. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know today. In countries around the world, Saudi Arabia, which we supposedly have really good relations with, in Saudi Arabia, if you believe the word of God, if you proclaim the word of God, if you have a testimony of the word of God in Saudi Arabia, off with your head. It's going to happen. We're already seeing signs in our world of things like this taking place. Let's keep moving. From what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that's what we've been studying, to what John said in Revelation 6, would you say that last line with me? There is amazing consistency. You know, that's what I do when I study the Bible. It's very, you need to caution, and I need to caution myself, and you need to caution yourself to not believe, just take one verse and form some new religion over it. Amen? And a lot of people do. They'll take one verse, and they will form some kind of quacky idea and something like that, legalistic view. But I tell you what, when you take Scripture with Scripture and you compare Scripture with Scripture and you see the kind of consistency that we just saw in a very short time this morning, friend, there is no other conclusion than this. Jesus Christ said He's coming again. The book of Revelation verified it. Jesus said there will be an end of the world as we know it. The book of Revelation, in vivid detail, tells us exactly the same thing. Keep looking. So learn a parable of the fig tree. We ain't got there, though, yet, have we? So what does the parable of the fig tree have to do with all the signs of Jesus coming and the end of the world? Fig tree mess, preacher man. What you doing? Did you know there was a guy in the Bible named Amos, remember? And he was a fig-picking preacher. I preached a message one time. How many were here for that message? Amos, the fig-picking preacher. Amen? Figs all in the Bible. Let's keep looking. Let's look at it. Come on. Let's see what we've got this morning. So what does the parable of the fig tree, have to do with Jesus coming again and the end of the world? Everything. As Jesus was talking in Matthew 24, as He was answering their question, He tells them a story, a parable. Does that parable have anything to do with what He was talking about or not? Of course it does. It's right in the middle. So the parable of the fig tree has everything to do with the signs of His coming and the signs of the end of the world as we know it. Now watch it. Let's read it together. Here we go. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24, 32 through 36. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. I don't know if you're getting any clues yet. Let's keep looking. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So let's keep looking. We're investigating the parable of the fig tree today. Let's look at it. The parable of the fig tree is a vivid and understandable illustration to what? Help the disciples not confuse it. Now, if you're bored stiff here with me, help me, okay? Come on. Hang in here with me. If you're like, slap somebody next to you. Here we go. All right? Come on. We're getting somewhere. If you hang in here, you might leave today knowing more than most anybody out there when it comes to this passage on Scripture. Not because I'm teaching it, just because we're talking about the Bible and you can learn today. Here we go. What are parables all about? Why did Jesus even give parables? Here it is. Look at it. Mark 4:11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in what? Parables. So let's review quickly. The parable of the fig tree. Jesus gave this parable. Did He give it to confuse the disciples? Yes or no? No. Did He give it to confuse people that didn't want to know the truth? Yes or no? Yes. But He did not give this to confuse the disciples. That should be a clue for us. Jesus spoke in parables to help people who wanted to see the truth, to be able to see it. And to those who didn't, it was concealed so they couldn't understand it. Let's keep looking. Matthew 24, 32 through 36, we're going to read again. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, no summer is nigh or near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Three views of the parable. What's this parable all about? Three views, real quick. It's not taking forever. Hang on here with me. What's this parable of the fig tree all about? Here it is, number one. The first view is that Jesus was coming back very soon, and this generation means the disciples He was talking to would not pass away before He returned. Did that happen, yes or no? No. Well, that view's out the window. Right? Now, there are a few that hang on that believe Jesus came in AD 70 or somewhere in that time frame. Guess what? So did Charles Russell, so did the Millerites, the Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of these people believe. Didn't happen. Okay? Keep looking. Second view of the parable is this. Generation speaks of Israel, and Jesus would return before Israel would die out. There's just one problem with that view. Israel ain't dying out, friend. Israel has not gone away. Even though they have been persecuted, tried to be annihilated from Titus in AD 70 all the way through and up to modern times of Hitler, and now you've got the president of Iran wanting to push them in the sea. Guess what? Read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. God said, I'm going to make you a nation. It's going to be like the sand of the sea, Abraham. It's going to be like the stars of the heaven. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. And Israel is not going to die out, nor has Israel died out. So that view doesn't fly. Okay? Number three, third view. The fig tree speaks of Israel, all right, and began being fulfilled in 1948 when Israel was reestablished as a nation. The generation living at that time would not pass until Jesus Christ returned. And that is a very, pop it up, that's a very popular view. Now, I'll tell you something. Because I would read the Bible, and I would study, and I would listen to what I thought were great preachers and still do, and we've got a radio station, and I would listen to our prophecy speakers, and many of them are my friends, I, along with them, believed that the fig tree was talking about Israel being back in the land in 1948. Because guess what? Israel was destroyed in AD 70, and for almost 2,000 years, they laid there dormant or being persecuted or driven out into other parts of the world. And nothing like this has ever happened in history where a nation comes back to its homeland and is being reestablished. It is a miracle of our time. Do you agree with that? Yes or no? It's a miracle. And so I, along with them, tended to believe that the parable of the fig tree was Israel being back in the land. And I know if I ask a show of hands this morning in this building, a lot of your hands would go up and say that's what you believe too. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the disciples would have understood that, yes or no? Answer it honestly. Do you think the disciples would have understood that when Jesus was telling them, yes or no? No. Did Jesus speak in parables so they could understand, or did he speak in parables to confuse the people who wanted to understand? I think that's what did it for me. And studying more carefully and a little closer, I don't have any new news to give you today. See, that's always popular in prophecy speaking. If I can get me a crowd and give you some new news and God's saying this and that and the other, bless God, amen, got a new book, need to read it. Listen, you can get a good crowd, but God doesn't work that way, friend. He's given you the Word of God, and we can figure it out. This was a very popular view. Keep looking. But here's the problem. Israel was established in 1948. A generation lasts how long? 30 to 40 years. Now, that's not to say a lifespan, but a generation. If you're here today and you're 60, you probably have children who are about 35, 40, and they also have children. Do you understand that? So there's a couple of generations in there. Is that correct? Yes or no? Yes. So a generation is between 30 and 40 years. So this view has lost some what? Oomph. Why did it lose oomph? Because 40 years is a generation. That's why the guy in wrote a book. He sold bunches of these books. And that is 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back. And guess what year? 1988. Did it happen? Yes or no? No. From the very beginning, we've said no man knows, no angel knows, not even the Son of Man knows. Okay? So this view isn't flying too good. Now look at it. Here's what's happened now. Watch it. The date has been readjusted to the victory of the Six-Day War in 1967. But friend, that clock's ticking too. Anytime you put out a view that is so strong and you say emphatically, this is what this is talking about, if you live long enough, you could have your rear end in a sling, handed to you on a platter. Amen? I was watching a great speaker. I consider this one guy a phenomenal speaker. I really like him, but this is his view. Guess what? Everybody that you like isn't always right. Are you hearing me? The Word of God is always right. The way we handle it sometimes, even if we try our best, we can still flub up. So I think that clock's ticking too. Now, if Jesus comes next year, 2007, buddy, we'll give him kudos. Amen? We'll give him credit. I'll retract the message up in heaven. Okay? My point is, we don't know. No angel knows. No man knows. No son of man knows. But here's what. We should live as if he's coming today. I believe his return is imminent. Let's keep looking. When common sense makes sense, then seek no other sense. Would you say that with me? When common sense makes sense, then seek no other. One more time. When common sense makes sense, then seek no other. That's how you ought to study the Bible. But we're out there today, and church has become a marketing thing, and religion has become a marketing thing. And I'm not saying people do it because they've got a bad heart, but I do think that we're always trying to keep our head dog, man, in the race. You know, we're always trying to one-up somebody with something new. I got something new. God spoke me and gave me something new. Let me tell you, friend, stay with the old book, man, the old Word of God. Stay with it. You don't have to seek anything new. Here's what the Bible says. My God says His mercies are new every day. Great is your faithfulness. So I don't have to be rewriting the Bible or have views or say God told me to keep myself going here. Let's keep looking. So what does it mean, preacher? Here it is. Fig trees were everywhere in Israel. They were everywhere. It wasn't like you saw one and everybody came from miles around to see it. They were everywhere. They were common, something that was easily seen and that most people knew a little bit about. We're flying. Here we go. So learn this parable. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know what? Summer is near. Now that's what the parable says. Keep looking. When the fig branches are tender, listen, that is to say, when the sap starts flowing, and the leaves begin breaking forth, you know that summer is just around the corner. How many of you lived up north in the frozen tundra? Can I see your hands? And guess what happened? It happened, didn't it? It was just awful. Just sticks in your yard. Bare. And all of a sudden, they would start to bud. Is that correct? And because they started budding, you knew something was soon going to happen. That they going to get leaves. and it's going to get warmer, right? Say. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? That's what Jesus is saying. He said it. When you see the branch become tender and it breaks forth, no summer is near. What's that got to do with anything? Keep looking. Back to what the disciples' questions were. What were the disciples' questions right from the Bible? They said, tell us when these things will be. They said, what shall be the signs of your coming and what shall be the signs of the end of the world? Is that an accurate reading? Yes or no? So that was their question. Is that what started this whole thing off? Yes or no? It started this whole thing off. So that was the question. So what had Jesus been talking to them about? Before he gave this parable, what was he talking about? Here's what he was talking about. Pop it up. He's talking about the signs of his coming and the end of the world. That's what he was talking about. We've been talking about it, haven't we? For like 3 weeks now. He was talking about it. Why am I talking about it? Because he was talking about it. And so then he gave this story. Keep looking. So then what does the parable mean? Are y'all ready? I'll tell you for a dollar. No, I'm just kidding. Tell us, man, you're killing us. So what does the parable mean? I think this is common sense, and when common sense makes sense, seek no other sense. I think this is a common sense approach. Jesus is saying, just as the budding of the fig tree means summer is near, likewise understand that the generation living, when the signs of the last days occur, they'll not have long to wait for Christ appearing. Does that make sense? When you see all these signs, or let's don't even put us in the situation, when all these signs start being fulfilled, know, he says, that my return is very near. Does that make sense? Do you think the disciples maybe could have understood that? Yes or no? Absolutely they could. Keep looking. And we're almost done. It's hard knowing Jesus is coming again, and the world as we know it is going to be completely destroyed. It's hard knowing. It's hard accepting that. I didn't write that good on the screen. But listen, it's hard accepting that, isn't it? Isn't it hard accepting that one day Jesus is coming again and the world that we live on, the planet that we live on, is no longer going to be here? Is that hard? Say. Some of you are from New York and used to go by where the World Trade Centers used to be. And it's just crazy that that's where they used to be and they're not there anymore. That's how this place is going to be. It's hard handling that, though, isn't it? See, we get, you know, yeah, you're crazy, Clark. You're whacked out. You're messed up. Well, that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. Do I have a hard time dealing with that? Yes, I do. I have a hard time accepting that. But that's what the Bible says. That's what's going to happen. It's consistently taught in the Bible. Can you say that with me? It's consistently taught in the Bible. And we got to deal with it. We can't wish it away. Two other scriptures. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3:10, in the which heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Is that Bible or no? That's Bible. Let's look at another one. Revelation, one of the last verses in the book. You think if it was going to happen, right at the end, the book that's talking about it at the end, they'd get it right, don't you think? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. And there was no more sea. Keep looking. It is certainly guaranteed by Jesus Christ's very own words. His coming again, the end of the world as we know it, it is guaranteed by his very own words. Now, after he gave the parable of the fig tree, look what he said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words won't pass away. As difficult as it is for your mind to accept Jesus coming again, as difficult as it is for your mind to accept that this world will not that one day be like it is now, let me tell you something. This should help you some. It's either going to happen or his word is a failure. You need to chew on that a while. Okay? Jesus Christ, word is good, my friend. His word is good. Do you believe his word or not? Believe his word or not? That's the bottom line. I'm not saying it's easy to accept, but that's what his word teaches. Impossible as it may seem, friend, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. God's word is true. It's more permanent than the earth that you live on. That's what that verse is teaching. God's word is more permanent than the earth that you live on. Isn't that hard to believe? It's more permanent than this? Mm-hmm. God's word. Bank your life on his book, on the word of God. We're done this morning. This is the fig tree. What's the parable of the fig tree? This is the parable of the fig tree. That's it right there. That is the parable of the fig tree. When you see deception, dissension, devastation, disease, death, disasters, disloyalty, delusion, defection, declaration of the gospel. That, my friend, is the parable of the fig tree. When I see that sucker like that, let me tell you, when I start to see all that, guess what? I start to think, summer's near, baby. The sun's coming up. Amen? The sun's coming. The sun's coming. When I start to see that, that's what I see. I close with this morning on the screen. This is where we all started a couple of weeks ago. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening in your world today. Pay attention to the Bible and what's being taught. Number two, believe the Bible. Believe God's word. Be watching for his return. Get up every day. Confess your sins. Be in the word of God. Pray. Live today as if it might be your last. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, man. Live today. Love your wife today. Love your husband today. Love your kids today. Love your neighbor today. Share the gospel with somebody today. Why? Because I might not have tomorrow. That's a good thing. Live like that. Number three, know you're going to be accountable to him. We're going to give an account. We're going to stand before him. And this could be the day. Do we know when Jesus is coming again? Review with me. No. No man knows. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. Should we live as if he is coming again and could even be today? Yes or no? Yes. The parable of the fig tree.